Rooks and Indian Pudding. Mony a one for him makes main, but nane sall ken where he is gane, or his white banes when they are bare, the wind sall blaw for evermair. Jeanette Fox's head was so deep in Treasure Island that she did not hear the elegant gentleman who had entered and was now standing before her at the desk with his hand hovering over the silver bell. When she looked up, she gaped for a moment before remembering to close her mouth. "And how is Friday?" he asked in a low, inviting voice.
"I'm sorry, sir, but it is Saturday today, not Friday. Oh, you mean Friday in the book?"
When he laughed, he threw his head back, and his hair followed in a wave. His beard glittered red and white, and when he looked back down at her, she felt pulled into eyes that were both kind and amused. "I just finished reading Treasure Island, and am now into his Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. The man is prodigious, all that in 1 year. Now, my dear, I am Roscoe Blaine, here with my wife Holly, and I do believe you have a room for us, if you will be so kind as to consult your other book." Jeanette snapped back into her efficient mode and produced the key for the most discreet suite at the inn, in the back, overlooking the garden and ice house. "Now, Jeanette, I like that name. Now, we must not be disturbed for any reason. We have a great deal of reading to do. I will send down to the kitchen for anything we want. In fact, Jeanette, I will give you this now." Here he produced a wallet from an inner pocket and pulled out a flowery $5 bill that he tucked into Treasure Island. "Wonderful, Jeanette, we will get on. Now, my wife will come in a short while, once I have the room ready and the way clear. Meanwhile, if you could get consommé and a slice of Indian pudding and a decanter of sherry. Marvellous, my dear, spectacular. Here we go." Jeanette was at the desk when this Holly came through in a white dress with knee-high brown leather boots and an enormous paisley shawl wrapped right about the upper half of her body. Only those agate eyes and glimpse of a mellifluous mouth as she passed, like a whisper, and seemed to float up the stairs. Jeanette would have said she'd seen a ghost, except for the overly strong smell of joy she left behind. Jeanette knew she still knew very little, but she was quite sure that ghosts don't wear perfume. And what about clothes? Do they keep them in ghost closets? This would occupy her mind for some time, until one or other of the savages, the inn owners, called her to attention. And indeed, little was seen of this Holly, though Roscoe was everywhere with a hail fellow well met and an editor's ear for a good local story. Holly would emerge at 11:50 and arrange her paisley shawl, then check with Roscoe as he checked his timepiece, and on the stroke of noon, the two of them would step out into the noonday sun without a shadow to be seen between them. They spent their time either floating and reading on the pond. Well, to tell the truth, it was arguing on the pond, for they were reading Mr. Emerson's new effort, The Conduct of Life. Roscoe thought it the very worst of his writing, pandering to his audience, while Holy Holly, for that is what Jeanette now called her, said it was some of the very best of his writing, full of gems like "A breath of will blows eternally," and that "we are within the will of all mind."